From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Arun Roth. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. Despite COVID, enrollment in nursing schools is up slightly in Massachusetts, but a lack of educators and internships is creating a bottleneck. Kirk Carapezza from GBH's higher ed desk has been looking into the nursing pipeline, and he joins us now. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, Arun.
So tell us, why did you decide to look into the nursing enrollment in Massachusetts at this moment?
Yeah, well, you know, we've all heard the stories about people quitting their jobs, right? Especially nurses who are burned out and overwhelmed. They're retiring a little bit early. And I was wondering whether that has had any effect on the nursing pipeline, you know, on younger people who are considering whether nursing was for them. You know, were these potential students inspired by what we just put all these frontline workers through, or did they just want no part of it?
And in the context, I learned from your piece as well, like there was a nursing shortage before this, right? So this just made things so much more intense, right?
Right. The economists were projecting that we were facing about, you know, a shortage of about 40,000 something medical workers, including 14,000 nurses by the year 2024. And, you know, since the pandemic, despite some applicants getting cold feet, what we found is overall enrollment in the state's nursing colleges is up. It's up about 4% by our measure. And that's according to some analysis that we did of data provided from 39 of the state's 41 nursing programs. What we found mirrors a national trend with the number of applicants outpacing available spots. I spoke with young people like Emily Jones in my reporting, and Jones told me that, you know, working with COVID-positive patients at Leahy Hospital in Burlington has really heightened her interest in more schooling to become a nurse.
So it really felt good, you know, helping those people when they'd say thank you to you with all this oxygen hooked up to them, you know. It was like, okay, this is what I'm meant to do. This is really for me.
Wow. So overall, though, enrollment in nursing programs is up, but it's not up evenly, right? Not across all sectors.
That's right. Community colleges are really struggling. And this is going on before the pandemic. Community colleges are competing with four-year schools. Our survey found more than half of the state's 15 community colleges have seen declines in their enrollment since 2019. Those schools have cut back their programs because of a shortage of instructors and internships for students. Community colleges are struggling to compete with private hospitals and universities to provide the same salaries to their faculty. Of course, community colleges enroll a higher proportion of students from lower income families who are disproportionately hurt by the pandemic. And these schools say, you know, while there's no shortage of interest in what they're offering, they've had to cut back on the number of classes offered because hospitals don't have enough internships for their students due to COVID restrictions. And nursing programs, as I was saying, you know, across the state are really struggling to recruit credentialed faculty and pay them what they can get elsewhere. Mount Wachusett Community College, where I focused a lot of the reporting in Gardner, for example, has 9 full-time nursing professors. And the dean told me they have 4 openings right now. And as a result, enrollment is down. They had to cut one of their nursing courses, and enrollment's down 14% over the past 3 years.
So if part of the problem is that Mount Wachusett and other nursing programs are struggling to provide enough clinical experience to students, are there any new models that might restock the nursing pipeline?
Yes, Regis College in Weston, which is the largest private nursing school in Massachusetts, is taking a new approach this semester. It's launched what they're calling a nursing residency program, and it's a partnership with the Greater Lawrence Family Health Center, which recently converted an old dollar store in a strip mall in Haverhill. It's right next to a Dunkin' Donuts, and they converted it into this bright new clinic. And there are very few of these programs in the country. Residents are licensed paid nurse practitioners. They're graduates of the Regis program, while standard clinical interns are students unlicensed and unpaid. And at scale, healthcare experts tell me this model could actually help newly minted nurse practitioners prepare to fully enter the workforce just as they're so desperately needed, just as nurses are burning out. I spoke with resident Elsa Acosta Sullivan. She's in her mid-40s. This is her second or third career. And she says she delayed going to nursing school until her teenage son was old enough to take care of himself.
I've always leaned towards healthcare. Even my undergrad was in dietetics nutrition, so I was always in a hospital setting in that sense. And my son, I mean, he could pour his own cereal, he's all grown up, and it was time for mom to get back to doing her own thing.
While many healthcare workers are feeling overwhelmed, she says the pandemic has only heightened her interest in nursing. After she completes her residency next year, she told me she's hoping the healthcare center hires her full time.
That's GBH higher ed reporter Kirk Carapeza. Great hearing these voices, Kirk. Thank you.
Thank you, Arun.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. 1 million gallons of radioactive water could be headed for Cape Cod Bay from the closed nuclear power station in Plymouth. Holtec International, which owns the Pilgrim nuclear station, has notified the state that it plans to remove the water, says Seth Pickering of the State Department of Environmental Protection.
This includes water from the reactor vessel and the spent fuel pool and other components of the plant. Holtec has indicated that if it does discharge the radioactive water into Cape Cod Bay, it will be done in batches of approximately 20,000 gallons each.
Holtec says discharge into the bay is just one of several options it's considering. Company representatives wouldn't say which options are at the top of the list, but they say water from a nuclear plant can be stored, shipped to another location, or evaporated. Holtec says it won't be ready to remove the water until the fall of next year. Meantime, Beacon Hill lawmakers heard testimony on a proposal to ban most state agencies from using facial recognition technology. The bill is sponsored by State Senator Cynthia Cream, who says only law enforcement is currently regulated in the use of facial recognition.
You could monitor people in the library. You could see who's walking in the park. We don't have any prohibition on that. And so what I'm hoping is that a bill that would prohibit the government use of facial recognition other than in law enforcement.
Currently, a court order, not a warrant, is required to use facial recognition, and Cream says she wants to toughen requirements around law enforcement as well. In other news, and just in time for Thanksgiving, the Boston Public Library is putting out a call for donations to its new Spice Bank Collective. They're asking people to drop off unopened containers that will be distributed to local food pantries. BPL Nutritional Literacy Director Stephanie Chase is behind the drive to make flavor more accessible.
It's really important that we have a way of culture expression through our food. And if we need to use the food pantries for a time being, there's no reason why that culture expression has to cease.
The library's Spice Donation Program is a collaboration with the Greater Boston Food Bank, and Spice donations will be accepted at nearly 24 BPL branches through 2022. And finally, the Massachusetts Audubon Society has unveiled plans to open a unique nature center along the Charles River. It'll be located on Magazine Beach in Cambridge, right near the BU Bridge. State Society President David O'Neill calls it an exciting new chapter in the group's mission to connect people and nature.
We know it's especially important at sites like this where the surrounding communities are starved for the outdoors and, you know, frankly, feeling disproportionate impacts of both COVID-19 pandemic and of climate change.
The center plans to host events like guided nature walks, kayak river tours, and live animal demonstrations. The Audubon Society expects it to be open by next April. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo in news, I'm Arun Roth. Be well. Before you go, let me tell you about Nova Now, a new biweekly podcast from the PBS science series Nova. Join host Alok Patel as he explores the science behind the biggest headlines of the day. Now is more critical than ever to distinguish fact from fiction and find science-based answers to the most pressing questions of our time. Subscribe to Nova Now wherever you get your podcasts.